listening to the voice of EAA, EAA Radio, 93.3 FM, 1210 AM, and EAARadio.net. Now back to Celebration Way at AirVenture and more of EAA Radio Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to EAA Radio Live. Someone who needs no introduction is our president and CEO of EAA, Rod Hightower. Let's welcome him.
Thank you, Fareed.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Or is it afternoon yet? No, yeah, it's still morning.
It's still morning, and it was a year ago, almost today, that you were announced as the new president of EAA. And what do you remember about that day?
Well, it was a busy day. You know, I think one of my favorite memories, and I got to tell you this, you know, there's always a lot of press around in an event like that, an announcement like that. Yeah. But what most folks didn't realize was standing in the back of the room were some folks that I knew and had known for a long, long time, right? Fellow aviators and longtime friends had no clue the announcement was about to take place. So my favorite memory of that specific announcement was all the reporter activity and the camera flashes and all that was one thing, but watching my flying buddies in the back of the room flip their phones out with big wide eyes and open mouths calling their buddies going, you're not going to believe what is just now happening. That was my favorite memory of that day.
Well, that's talk about the grandest of practical jokes on someone and just throwing them, but obviously it wasn't a joke. We first met maybe in September in your first week on the job. You sat down for an interview with me that we put out in our newsletter and is available online. But I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked you a year ago. What has it been like to go from a member to the president of the organization?
Well, first of all, you get a golf cart at AirVenture. That's one of the biggest benefits I can see so far during AirVenture Week. No, the membership, you know, one thing the membership, and as a longtime member, probably don't understand fully or maybe appreciate fully, really just the depth and the breadth of EAA's involvement and impact on aviation. So as a longtime member, I never fully appreciated just how powerful and how effective our government advocacy efforts are, fighting for the rights of aviators. I didn't fully appreciate that as a member. So one of the things that I've said about doing is to make sure we tell that story a little bit more succinctly so that our members understand just how effective and how powerful that activity is.
I'm going to ask you a little bit about government advocacy a little bit later, because certainly a lot of people are interested. EAA has been very active very recently about this, and I'm sure you'll want to discuss a lot about what we've been doing. And another thing that you've been doing to get to know the members and to outreach is the Grassroots Pilot Tour, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that too. But I do want to, some people probably still haven't met you, even though you've been head of the organization for about a year. So tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the personal flying that you've done in the past and you still like to do.
Well, you know, I've been an aviator since age 16. Started my flying experience at age 16. I'm a commercial multi-engine instrument pilot, 2,300 hours total flight time. I've owned three airplanes in my life. The Stearman, which we bought as a basket case. I will never do that again. It was a wonderful experience. Took 7.5 years to fly that airplane. But the next time I do a project, I'm going to make sure all the parts are there. The Stearman's been part of our life, a big part of my flying life, obviously since 1988 when we bought the project. But it's also been a big part of our family's life. So we have some aviators in our family that are about to become aviators, I should say. A couple of them just walked in the room. But the flying experience is around three airplanes, Stearman, a Cessna P210 that we used in the business to get around the country, and then of course, a T6. So I use the T6 to get around in the Midwest here. It won't go very far. Sucks a lot of gas, too, right, by the way, but it didn't go very far. So that's a little bit about my flying background. Married 23 years, five children, the oldest 17, the youngest 2.5.
And how do they like Oshkosh? Now it's the summertime and most of your family's with you.
Well, they're having a blast. They're having a ball. So, you know, one of the things that comes with the territory is if you think of the profile of the role, the head of EAA, you know, it also elevates the profile of the family a little bit. So one of the things that we, Mara and I, both believe very strongly in is that the children participate in volunteerism. So they've been here now for almost 3 weeks. They are all working. My oldest volunteered at the lodge, and now she's out at the Warbirds area working for County Boland. My son, John, you'll appreciate this, gentlemen. We have him working with Steve Taylor. Steve is head of all of our facilities and grounds here.
Right, so he's getting his hands dirty, real.
Not only is he getting his hands dirty, Steve has got him doing all the dirty, dirty jobs. I mean, that's how you start a young man like that out, right? And then my two younger ones, the 11-year-old and 9-year-old, are working in the merchandise, volunteering in the merchandise area, setting up your merchandise tents. And the 2.5-year-old is just having a big play day and enjoy riding on the golf cart. So I think that's her highlight.
It's, EAA is a family organization, and your family is sliding right into that. So
they're sliding right in, and they're having a ball. And I got to tell you, everyone has just welcomed us so warmly and with great open arms. It's fantastic. And I get a kick out of it because everywhere we go, it's hard to escape meeting new people. And it's starting to get familiar in the fact that the people that have been out here volunteering for a week or two, we're starting to recognize and remember names. That's a good sign.
Right, yeah. That is a very good sign. In January, you started the Grassroots Pilot Tour, and that's to reach out to members, spend time with them, and fulfill one of your philosophies you expressed in our first conversation we had, and that is to be out on the front lines of the organization. What have you discovered about EAA and EAA members so far?
Well, the things we know about EAA members are forever true, I would say. First, they're just absolute passionate and dedicated aviators. But as important as that, they're dedicated family people, and they're great, great citizens. So when you get around a group of EAAers, you're going to not only find strong aviation interests, but you're going to find good people, kind of people that you want to be neighbors with, kind of people you want to go spend your time with and do things with. That's universally true. But, the action is really in the field and on the front line. Aviation takes place all over this country, all over this world, in fact. But what makes it happen are the folks that are actually out there doing it every day, whether you're flight instructing, flying for fun and pleasure and sport, whether you're building, doesn't matter. You're participating in aviation in a meaningful way. You become part of that bond, and you become part of that aviation family that kind of never escapes you. And in fact, it's something that we celebrate here at AirVenture in a huge way. It's a gigantic family reunion of aviators in one respect.
What are some of the common themes that members have come up to you consistently in some of these tour events?
We have had several common themes that come out. We started the Grassroots Pilot Tour. We launched it on January 11th in Poplar Grove, Illinois. We've done 26 of those since January 11th, so I've spent a lot of time in the field and met a lot of members. Typically, we have about 125 to 200 members at each one of these events. It's a wonderful, wonderful evening. Those common themes are we're concerned about protecting our right to fly, and we're concerned about keeping aviation accessible and affordable. Those are the common themes that I hear on the concern side. Now, on the positive and upbeat side, I hear consistently that says, we are not only interested in doing something about it, we are doing something about it. And they share the magical stories, story after story after story, of where they get involved in bringing young people into aviation, old people into aviation, and having an experience of bringing them through the experience at the chapter level, bringing them to the airport, getting them excited about aviation. The amount of what I call outreach that our members are doing on their own initiative and with the full spirit of volunteerism is astounding. 900 chapters, 170,000 members, calling on schools, meeting people, sharing it with their friends. That's the good stuff. That's the good side of what I'm finding out there.
One of the things you do discuss at the Grassroots Pilot Tour is the Young Eagles program. Can you tell me a little bit about what we should know about the effectiveness of the program and why we still continue it?
Well, the effectiveness, I think, is twofold. You have to take a look at the original purpose of the Young Eagle program in 1993 was to share the first flight experience with youth. And that youth was defined people between the ages of 8 and 17. Since 1993, we've shared 1.6 million first flight experiences with youngsters. A wonderful program and an extremely successful youth outreach program. Now, you talked about results or activity associated with the outcomes of that. There's really two sides to think about. There's the experience for the Young Eagle, which everyone knows is a good one. And by the way, it has resulted in a lot of pilots being created. So we have, of all of our licensed pilots in the United States, we have 18,800 of them are former Young Eagles. And typically, you will find the older the young eagle is when they have that first flight experience, the more likely they are to become a pilot. The other benefit of that is the joy and the pleasure you see in a member. When you give that young eagle ride, you are having a blast, mm-hmm. and it comes through. It comes out, And one of the things that cracks me up a little bit when I go to young eagle rallies You might fly 110 kids. You might have 12 or 15 airplanes. And you might have 20 or 30 pilots. At the end of the day, they're all dirty, worn out, and greasy and oily or whatever they've been flying, smiling ear to ear, talking about the next one coming. That's what I like.
Yes, it's a twofold. The youth certainly enjoys that airplane ride, but it's an equal effect for the Young Eagle pilot, and I believe it's one of the perpetual things about the Young Eagle program, just kind of keeps building on itself. But yes. You also talked a little bit about older members and trying to get them learning how to fly, those who maybe got off the track or have always wanted to. EAA seems to have identified that as a growth area.
You know, you're a consummate reporter. You know, you're always, how do I get the early scoop, right? How do I... There is a sense of something coming, actually, that will be announced at AirVenture this year. So there's no question that the Young Eagle program is without a doubt the most successful aviation youth outreach program in history. It's a powerful program. Now, as things move forward, we are finding more and more and more people who are older who want to have an early flight experience. There's a little bit of a challenge getting a hold of your first early flight experience if you don't come from an aviation family. You don't know the aviation secret handshake, right? I mean, if you can find your way past the 10-foot fence with a barbed wire on top of it, then you've got to find your way to someone who's knowledgeable and capable of articulating to you the joys of flying or what it might take to fly, what it might cost to fly. So the favorite, kind of one of my favorite scenarios, if I'm hanging out in the FBO or near the FBO, I can't tell you in my flying career how many times someone who's come in, age mid-40s, let's say, or north, have come in and asked about flying only to encounter someone who's not exactly knowledgeable, not exactly experienced on how to tell them the story about flying. I've seen it a few times. And I usually let it play out for a little while until I realize that the person who's inquiring about flying is becoming maybe frustrated, and I'll step in and have a dialogue. But when I meet people in their north of 40 that want to fly, I hear some common themes. Man, I've always wanted to fly.
Yeah.
Since childhood, I've wanted to fly. How do I do it? Where do I go? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. And that's the thing that I hear. So we're going to be making some modifications. We're going to create an experience for older folks that is really modeled very similar to the Young Eagle experience. We have a big debate about what to call it. We all know what Young Eagles are. What are we going to call it, right? Old Eagles? Gray Eagles?
Gray Eagles, yeah.
Bald Eagles?
I already qualify then.
So we're having a little fun with that, but that's to be determined. But the fact of the matter is, when you reach a certain age, sometimes you have a little bit more time and a little bit more money to spend on the things that you're passionate about. And we're finding out a lot of adults are really rekindling that early childhood passion or interest in flying. There's an opportunity there, it sounds like to me. Would you guys agree? I agree. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.